Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. In each and every stage of our lives, we have to make decisions, so many decisions about what to study, where to work, what to buy, what to sell, how to save, whether to marry, whether to divorce, whether to procreate. The volume and complexity of all of these decisions can be so overwhelming. So, certified financial planner and author Shannon Lee Simmons wrote a book to help you get through it, in particular, in crisis. This new book is called No Regret Decisions, Making Good Choices During Difficult Times. Hello there.
Hello.
Why write this book at this moment in time?
I think, well, when I started the book, it's because I noticed that, you know, I've seen people's lives play out for 15 years on the front line of financial planning. And I started noticing a trend in people where, you know, when they're making these big decisions and how they're playing out on the other side. And so I wanted to write the book. And now I feel very lucky, Bruce, that it came out when it did, because I think given everything that's gone on post-pandemic with inflation and interest rates and, oh my gosh, housing prices and everything, I think the average person now has been thrust into a situation where the future is super uncertain and we have to make a series of really tough decisions.
You share a really powerful story at the beginning of the book about your experience as a parent during the pandemic. And as a parent during the pandemic, I felt seen. I could relate to everything you said, the tears, the locking yourself in the bathroom, all that. You said to your toddler, quote, "It's not forever, it's just for now." We're now in the now. How do you feel now? Because I read that and I think, wow, you were right.
Yeah, but I think the next line is, I hope I didn't just lie to him. It's one of those things where I still say that to a lot of people who are in situations where everything is in flux and the future is super uncertain. And one of the pieces of wisdom that I think this job has given me is being able to see that, you know, these are moments in our life. These are times and periods of our lives. There are hard years, but that doesn't mean it's indicative of the future forever. And it's the same, even if you think about stock market returns and volatility in the market, you know, it's not forever. It's just for now. It's the same idea. And so I think I didn't really know at the time, but it's one of those things that you have to hold on to. I remember saying it to myself like a mantra, like, this isn't forever, this is just for now. And that allows you somehow to shrink the problem from being this overwhelming, spiraling out of control, what does this mean in the future, to what am I going to make for dinner? That, you know, and we take it from huge to small. And I think when we're in these moments of whether it's a full out personal crisis or whether it's just massive decisions that need to be made where you're like looking forward thinking the stakes are so high. Yeah. Sometimes it's really helpful to just be like, it's not forever. It's just for now.
You have defined this phrase decision crisis in a unique way as an equation. Take us through that equation.
So for me, I mean, we make decisions every day, but the ones that I'm talking about in this book and the motivation for making this book in the first place, which was pre-pandemic, was that often there are people who need to make decisions. And here's the formula, where there are high financial stakes, right? So we're not talking about a decision where, you know, you're ordering a pizza or not. Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's annoying. It's high financial stakes, high emotional stakes. And what I mean by that is that once you make this decision, your life will not be the same again. No pressure. So yeah. I'm like quitting your job. You quit on Tuesday, your life on Wednesday is different.
Yeah.
Getting married or asking someone to marry, like to marry you, your life looks different the next day, depending on what they say. Either way, it's different. If you have a baby, if you retire, if you are getting a divorce, if you get diagnosed with a critical illness, like your life as you know it is different after this decision. So that's what I mean by high emotional stakes, and then plus uncertainty. So you have to make decisions with no real control over how things are going to play out. So your life is going to change. It's going to cost money and you can't guarantee the future. That's scary. And this happens in our life all the time. And I get pulled into these conversations as a certified financial planner and life coach, because money's involved. So people are like, you know, how much can I afford, or what do I need, or can I do this, or can I afford this? And so these conversations I've been having for like 15 years, I don't think I could have written this book 10 years ago, Bruce. Mm. I don't, because yeah. I didn't have the anecdotal evidence to see who's thriving on the other side and who's not.
And that evidence has been the foundation for what you call the decision crisis playbook that has a bunch of tips under it. Number one, don't make decisions in panic mode. How do you put the pause on the panic button when the ceiling's falling in?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, if everyone can kind of relate to the pandemic as being a moment where your life looks different the next day, whether you liked it or not. I mean, we can all relate to that now too. I think one of the things that's really important about not making a decision in panic mode is that to realize that, like, it's not like you can just end being in panic when your life looks different or when the stakes are really high. But what you can do is acknowledge that you're in it, which I think is huge in itself, and then consciously and mindfully do things to try to pull yourself up out of it for like 2 seconds so you can just breathe and see clearly that moment of clarity, like, this isn't forever. This is just for now. Like, just a moment of calm thoughts, so that you can, when you're making decisions and when you're trying to move forward through whatever decision crisis it is that you're having, you're very mindful that it's not just a reaction to something or a default position. Those are the ones I find to be the most panic-based, is like a huge reaction or a default position, which is, I was so scared, I did nothing. And then like life just happened to me. And like whatever the default is going to be basically the decision that you made by doing nothing. And I think that just even the mindfulness around not making a panic-based choice is important itself, because those are the people that I've noticed over the years where, you know, things don't work out and they look back and say, I have so much regret.
Mm. Number two in the playbook, make long-term values-based decisions. Often our values are contradictory in that we could say, I really, really, really value family, and I really, really value financial prudence. A family member has passed away. The funeral is tomorrow. Do I go or don't I go?
Exactly. Discuss. Yeah. So I think I call them it's your core values, which, you know, we're all pretty familiar with that term, the things that make you, you, and they're different for you than it is for someone else. And I think really, again, going out and mapping them out, like, what are some of my core values? And that's all fine and good. But then when I go one step further in the playbook, it's like, what's your deciding value? And so sometimes, so if those are your two values, which is like financial prudence and also like, you know, family, those are going to be at war with each other sometimes. And so each decision that you have to make when the stakes are high and those two come into conflict with each other, you have to make a priority. You have to put one above the other. And then that's your decision and you're staking your claim to it. And if it's actually true to who you are in that moment and what's important to you in that moment, then even if you tick someone off or go into debt, depending on whatever the outcome is from that decision, you're going to look back and say, I don't regret it, because even though I love my family, I couldn't go into debt this time. I just got out of it. You know, we don't know what's going on in someone's life. In that moment, my deciding value, I prioritized my value of financial prudence over family. And on the flip side, someone else might've been like, take all my money. I'm flying to Australia for the funeral.
Yeah.
I don't care if I paid off for 800 years. I am prioritizing my value of family over that. Mm. And they're going to look back and at that debt and be like, pain in the butt, but I'm not blaming myself forever and having a sleepless night.
Number three, control what you can if you can. Number four, set boundaries or guardrails so you don't run out of time or money. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I think this is my favorite one. It seems like such common sense. Everyone's like, of course, don't spend more than you want to. But it doesn't happen so mindfully when we're in that panic. So taking the time to plot out when you're going to call it is really important. So for example, a really, you know, accessible example of a pivot point versus a guardrail. Pivot point is basically like you map it out before you actually start heading along your path, where a pivot point's when plan A didn't work and you have to shift other things in your life so that you can keep going down the path. So let's have an example of, let's say you're going to buy your first house and your ideal price point is $700,000. And then you start bidding and it's like, well, it's actually, you know, someone else has put in 750,000 and it's like, okay, well, we can do 750. It's not what we wanted, but if we do 750, then we can't renovate. So that's a pivot, right? You've pivoted your plan. Okay. So we're not going to renovate. we're going to keep going at this. And but we had to change our plans in order to make this thing happen. And so we're going to decide to do that mindfully, changing up our plans. The guardrail is where it's a no more. There's no more options. There's no more ways that you can change your plans, right? Like there's no more things that can shift. And so another pivot point might be, a guardrail might be 750,000, like that, or sorry, 775,000. And so you get there, and not only have you pivoted the reno, not only have you pivoted where you're going to live, but now you can't get a house for under $800,000. Mm. And it's like, but if you'd set out the guardrail before, like the bank will not give you a mortgage that will allow you to buy an $800,000 house. Well, that there is a guardrail. That means that you're out of options. Like it's done. Like you can't go any further. And so sometimes you can put that guardrail into place to protect yourself. So for example, I do this with people all the time when they're buying a house. It's like, where's the number where I'm house poor? Don't go over that. So it doesn't mean that you haven't pivoted and gone over your ideal, but it means that we're not going over past this. And sometimes it can be put on you, which is like the bank won't literally give you enough money. So it's done. The dream is it's done right there. So that's the guardrail. And I think by mapping out these pivot points where it's like, I'm willing to shift my life around and make this happen versus a guardrail where it's like, I won't have regret because I didn't get myself house poor.
One last question before we go. The last part of the playbook, embrace your next normal. I love the nuance here. You did not say new normal. You said next. Why?
Correct. Because we don't know what it is just yet. And your next normal is just your day-to-day life on the other side of this decision crisis. Once the dust settles, like you played your hand. And now you see where it's going to play out, whether this is like divorce or moving or whatever, like your day-to-day life is going to start again. And you're going to say, okay, well, this is the next normal. And I use the word next because there's going to be lots of next normals in our life. And again, it doesn't have to be forever. It can just be for now because we can choose our way to another one if we don't like it. And when I say embracing, it's like, you know, this book is really for people who are afraid about things not working out, because if you did the thing and it all worked out the way you wanted to, then great. But if you did the stuff, you did all the things, and then it doesn't work out the way that you wanted it to, can you look back and not have regret? And it's really about embracing it in the sense that, okay, this isn't what I wanted. But because I don't regret the decisions that I made when I look back, I don't blame myself. And that has been the number one piece of contentment and thriving and confidence on the other side of a decision crisis that I've seen over the last 15 years. Because those who look back when they're sitting in a situation where they don't love their day-to-day life and say, you know what, I made the best choice I could at the time, they have the confidence going forward. Whereas people who regret are afraid of more bad things happening to them because they don't trust that they'll be able to handle it.
Shannon Lee Simmons, congrats on this latest book, and thank you for joining us to talk about it.
Thanks for having me.
The book is called No Regret Decisions, Making Good Choices During Difficult Times. I don't know how many times I made that sound during this interview. Must be the trigger of my life in those early weeks of the pandemic.